thoughts. Oh God, how vast is the sum of them. Technology, isn't it amazing? We can look inside at a forming, a growing baby. It's just, it's mind-blowing what we are able to know and see and learn today. And it helps us to see these words more clearly. Wow, how amazing it is how you formed me in my mother's womb. It's mind-blowing. God formed us. He created us and designed us. It's a simple thing. Our verse, our focus today is not so much about that as it is about how do we communicate that? How do we interact with people about that, what we believe? This verse is talking about in 1 Peter. 1 Peter was written to people going through suffering, going through trials. And throughout it, Peter says, you're going to go through hard times. Make sure that it's because you're doing good, not because you're doing bad. It's okay if you suffer for doing good. It's good. It's commendable before God if you suffer for doing good. So, you know, he says here, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? You know, if you're doing good, who's gonna have something against you? But, he says, we all know reality. Even if you should, because sometimes we do when we do good things. It says, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are what? You're blessed. This is God's path for blessing. We inherit a blessing. But in your hearts, in the midst of this, revere Christ as Lord. These are hard issues. And in this day, we hear many, many voices, many perspectives and opinions on whether or not choice or life or abortion or is right or wrong. And I mean, we're inundated with media, with opinions. If it's not from the internet, it's from the news. If it's not from the news, it's some celebrities got their opinion. If it's not a celebrity, somebody else has written a book or done a TV show or a movie. We are inundated with this. Not just on this subject, many subjects that are challenging and difficult. And as we listen and look to this, we have to always approach this with, Lord. Right? What do we, when we say, Lord, Lord, what does a Christ follower mean when they say, Lord, Lord? They mean it. They really mean, Jesus, you are my creator, you are my master, you're my king, and you are the Lord, the owner of my life. That's first and foremost. And sometimes we have to look at the voices that are trying to be Lord in our lives. The voices that are trying to tell us, this is what you should think. Sometimes we can just take the voices and just accept that as, this is what I should think. Sometimes you got to dig deeper, people. We can't just accept what somebody has said. You have to step back and say, but what does God's word, where did my Bible go? What does God's word have to say about this? You know, we've read Psalm 150. Praising God for his creation, praising him. He's the one that I have to look to first and foremost. And so when this word says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, that word revere means to, it's the same word as sanctify and holy. What does that mean? When something is holy, you do what with it? Set it apart as this is your one function. It's a holy thing. And when we set apart, we revere Christ as Lord. We say, you alone are Lord in my life. And I will look to you of all things. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, Lord, I want your guidance on whether or not I should buy that car. It's another thing when we say, Lord, I want your guidance on whether or not to call this a life or not? Talk about significant decisions that we dare not make of our own without the Creator's input. Revere Him. Set Him apart. And then it goes on to say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. We are a people of hope. Amen? We are a people of great hope and expectation that God is good and He's active in our lives and He truly leads and directs us and guides us in life. So we can be prepared knowing that I'm hopeful, I'm expectant. God meets me in this, right? So those couple of things. Always be prepared. What does always mean? What do you think the Greek means when it says always? Always. Yes. It really, it's just simply, yeah. I know these are hard issues, and there are times when we want to bolt, right? I'm not going there, right? What don't you talk about at family get-togethers? Religion and politics, right? Keep everything nice. Everybody smiles. Don't get in any hard subjects. And I'm not telling you to go and make a disaster out of your next family gathering. I'm just saying that this says always be prepared. We need to be in season and out of season, ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. We have to. Now, if you're going to be always prepared, you have to be prepared, right? Be prepared. What does it mean to be prepared for something? Is that the Boy Scouts? Right? So, okay, I'll call you out, mister. Somebody just went out and bought himself a new toy, didn't he? A new Harley for Travis. Woohoo for him. I bet you were, you just one day said, you know, I'm just going to go out and buy a bike. That one looks fine. Is that how you bought your bike?
No, I begged for 5 years.
He begged for 5 years. I bet you did, brother. And I bet you were drooling over bikes and reading about bikes and looking at bikes and trying to, which ones do I like, do I don't like, right? I mean, you take time and look at this stuff. I'm like that, you know, I buy a new thing for my studio in the basement or a car. I mean, like, I research things to death. It's almost obnoxious. But you know what? I prepare, and you prepared. Be prepared with an answer. Don't expect that you're going to fly off the seat of your, the back of top of your head on something so difficult as abortion is in our world. And having an answer makes a huge difference. There's two things here. People without answers, they just know what they know, but they don't really know why. They tend to be the ones that they react, and they get angry. They're fearful of somebody telling them something that they don't quite know what to do with. You know, when we don't have an answer, it tends to not be a very good dialogue. But when you have an answer for the hope that you have, you've prepared, you've thought about this, prayed about it, you can respond out of love. You can actually have what's called a discussion, a dialogue. That's when two people actually talk with each other without yelling. No signs, just people dialoguing and talking. That's what happens when you are prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. But there's more to this than just having an answer, because there's a lot that goes on in the midst of something so that there's so much to it. I forgot to tell you, some of you, I've shared this before, I don't come at this as somebody that has not had any experience in this area. As a young person, before I was a Christian, I became a Christian around when I was 25, but in my teen years, I was not living for Christ. I was going to church, but I wasn't living for Christ. And I unfortunately was dating a girl, and I got her pregnant. 16 years old, dumb as dirt, didn't know what to do. Unfortunately, I didn't have somebody in my life that I could have said, I got a problem. I don't know what to do. Somebody that could have counseled me and given me spiritual counsel. I wonder what might have been different in my life. Maybe I would have never gotten the girl pregnant in the first place had I had somebody that would have said, that is not God's way, you know. But I did what was easily encouraged in culture, even back in 78, probably 77, 78. I snuck to the bank, took money out of my account, praying that my parents would not find out why I took $150 out. I think that was about what it was. And I drove her to the clinic on 14 Mile near DeQuinder and sat out in the parking lot while she had the abortion. So I can't say that I know or understand it from her perspective. But mine is an indirect experience. And it's still difficult when I drive down 14 Mile, because I know exactly what happened in that time. We don't know what people are carrying. And so we're to do this with gentleness and respect. You're wondering, what on earth is this about? Oh, back up. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit. I need the cartoony one. There we go. You know what that is? A splinter. Why am I showing you a picture of a splinter in a foot? In our camping travels, when we were camping outside of East Lansing, my kids would run around in the trees and woods and have fun. Well, on this particular one, my daughter, who loved to be barefoot, got a bad splinter in her foot. So she comes back to the camper crying. She's got a little friend that from the next campsite over in tow. And, you know, Daddy. So I lay her down in the bunk on her belly with her face facing away from me, and I get the tools out, and I've got to take out the splinter. That's not easy, right? This one was laying down really close to the skin, and I just could not get a tweezers on it. So carefully, I opened the drawer. I got a knife and was going to use the edge to kind of get up underneath the splinter. Well, unfortunately, her little friend was standing there, and her little friend says, are you going to use a knife? Well, that was the end of that. My daughter loses it, and I'm like, you, out of here. I did get the splinter out. My daughter survived. She still loves me. But, I mean, that was not easy. We have to do things with gentleness, hard things with gentleness and respect. That word gentleness means power with reserve. It expresses a strength. I mean, I could have gone at that splinter a lot harder, but you know what? I was being as careful as I could. Only just enough that I needed to get that splinter out. I didn't want to go jamming on her foot, you know. That's because you just love the person. Gentleness, we're supposed to have an answer, and we share that answer with gentleness. Not too much, but enough that we need to get our answer out, right? And respect. That word can be used, that is used here, is the same word that was used for the fear that they had of angels when an angel showed up, and that says, and they were what, sore afraid, right? Linus says, and they were sore afraid. They were, there was this fearful respect. Well, there's that reverence, there's that respect of, I don't want to hurt this person. I have to be ready to give an answer for the hope that I have But I'm not going to go and bam, clobber them with truth. Holy Spirit, guide me. Who knows what's needed in a person's life, right? Not me. But who knows sometimes who needs to share? You know, there's that song, if not now, then what? When? If not me, then who? We have to be willing and ready to be that one that is willing to help. Always be prepared. Because if I don't take the splinter out of my daughter's foot because I don't want to hurt her, what happens to her foot? It gets infected. And I don't want to take her to the doctor because she hates the doctor. And then what happens to the infection? I mean, you see how the progression goes, right? Sometimes we have to speak hard truths as gently as possible, with respect for the person, but for their good. We don't like to do that, let's just be honest. We would rather just not get in the middle of difficult conversations. But the Spirit of God knows what needs to be said. What did Jesus say about the Spirit? He'll give you the words when you need them. He will give you the words that you need at the right time. You trust him and just go. Be willing to go and tell and trust him. The Spirit of God will do what Jesus sent him to do. He will teach you, he will comfort you, he will guide you into truth, and he will give you words to say, trust me. How many people have found the Spirit to be faithful in your lives? Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, it's true. Now, how do we do this in the everyday? I just want to give you, just for our topic today, an example. And I'm not talking about the picket line. I'm not talking about when people are getting upset and they're yelling at each other. I'm not talking about Facebook. When somebody posts something and somebody else starts, and then all of a sudden the back and forth is just going to town. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you in relationships with people in your family, at your workplace, in your school, your neighbors, at the store, just regular stuff. Okay? Does that clarify that? How do we do this in the everyday? We recognize that first there's the importance of listening. Did you know that listening to the other person does not necessarily condone what they believe? Listening to the other person does not necessarily mean that you are going to you have to agree with them, right? Listening means I value you and I want to hear what you think. I feel prepared to know what I think because I've thought it through and prayed about it and studied it and God has helped me. I want to know what you think. You know what that says to the other person? What is it? What do you think it says to somebody when your first thing is not to, well, I think. Your first thing is, I'm curious. What do you think? What do you think that would say to them? Oh, okay, yeah, I will tell you what I think. Yeah, all of a sudden they're disarmed. They're like, well, maybe you are interested in a dialogue and an actual discussion. Yeah. And when we do that, we will begin to recognize that people struggle. There are things that are difficult. What about when the mother's life is literally in danger? What a hard choice to make. What do I do if it's a literal choice between the mother and the baby? And I'm not going to sort through some of those things. But there's hard stuff that people wrestle with. What about when somebody's a victim of rape? It's not an easy thing. I know what I believe in these things. But I'm just saying that you're going to get into conversations that are not easy, and you have to recognize, okay, I understand that. And you try to understand somebody who comes from a pro-choice or a pro-abortion, however you want to describe it, perspective. You recognize, I get it. You value, or help me to get it. Don't just tell them what you think they think. Let them tell you what they think. But generally, they value a woman's right to choose, a woman's right to not be told what to do with her body. They value privacy. Their concern is for unsafe abortions that are done if it was made illegal. Okay? And so you say, well, let me help you to understand what I believe, and this is how I would share with somebody that I've listened to their perspective. We all look at a newborn baby, you and I, I'm going to pretend you're the other person, and we would say a newborn baby is beautiful, it's precious, we treasure that child, we care for it. Well, I talked about this before. Look at the crazy things parents do to take care of their kids. We go through anything and everything to take care of precious newborns. We know that children are beautiful, innocent, precious things. And I know we would agree upon that. But here's maybe where we disagree. This is my nephew, Owen James. What's the relation? Great nephew. Thank you. I got to go to her for all the family relational stuff. And that's my niece, Melissa. How cute, right? He went full term. And what an adorable child. I just love the look on her face. She's just my boy. She would dive in front of a train for that child. I mean, you just know it. This next one, I don't know who this little one is, but he was born at 30 weeks, 7.5 months. So smaller, right? But precious. One that you would want to do anything for, to care for. The mother would think just as much about this child as my niece does about Owen, right? A precious, precious child. Next one. The one on this side, Carter, in the little Superman outfit here, he was born at 28 weeks, or 7 months. Now, Carter is the son of one of our camp kids that's hung around at our cottage for years. One of our camp kids' brother had this little one. He was born early. We heard all about, you can see, he was... had to have some special care, right, when he was born. In fact, Terry said, she was thinking about it, this guy, Carter, had the same due date as Owen, my great-nephew. Same due dates, right around the same time. Isn't this interesting? He was born in the summer. Owen was born in what? Mid-July? What about Owen? October. So, significant difference. Look at this little guy. Superman! They'd do anything for that little guy, right? Where did that become a life? At what point, how do we wrestle with that? Where do you make that dividing point? Would you be willing to say, I think it's at this point in the pregnancy. A long time ago, children this young did not survive, oftentimes. What about this one? This is Lila. I don't know who Lila is. I just found her on the internet. She's the earliest born child that survived. 21 weeks, 5.25 months. I read the story about her. The mom gave birth, and Lila was not. These children are born in great distress. And Lila was not breathing. And the mom said, please, try. And the doctor said, because typically at that age, they don't. They just accept it as stillborn and call it done. And he said, okay, because you asked, I'll try. And he inserted an oxygen tube, and the little baby began to turn pink and start to breathe and still had lots of troubles. But look at Lila. She's going to preschool with all of the kids her age, a little smaller, still keeping up with all the rest of the kids. Wow. At what point, you know? The next one, where does something change besides growth? Where is there something different happening besides growing? Where all of a sudden it was, oh, well, that happened, and now this was life. That's what we as people who are pro-life, who believe that God created, how can I say that it's at this stage? Or no, actually, it's at this. Or maybe it's at this. Or maybe it's this. Some people use the idea of viability. Is the child viable? Will he survive outside the womb? How many people can think of a child that is 1 month old that somebody doesn't take care of that will survive? A 1 month old child will die if it's not cared for. Am I right? In the same way that a child at 4 or 6 or 7 months, unless they're cared for and nurtured, they won't survive. Viability is not the issue. They all need our care, every one of them, no matter what point. Some people are using the idea of, well, it's when we think they can feel pain. Are we going to use that for our template to whether somebody, an adult, is worthy of life, whether or not they can feel pain? Do you want to go there? There are diseases that people's nerves stop working. Are they no longer worthy of our care? I don't think we can use that kind of a test. And for a person of life that is pro-life, this is our struggle. At what point in time do you decide? Is it at 1, 4, 6, 8 months, 8 3/4 months, before the baby exits the birth canal? Where do you decide that is or is not a child? You know what? Would anybody leave their car, their baby in the car, on a summer day, even just for a couple minutes, to run into the store? Why? Well, it'll just be a couple minutes. It's dangerous. We wouldn't even think of leaving our kids alone in the car on a summer day. It's dangerous. We wouldn't do anything that would be dangerous for our child. That's just the way we roll as human parents. Do we want to take the risk that somehow I got it wrong? That maybe life exists, is one slide back. Maybe life starts here. Oops, no, actually, maybe it starts there. Well, maybe it's at 6 months. Do you know so assuredly that you would make that decision for a child? I wouldn't. Always err on the side of what? Caution. Be extra careful. So that's why we don't feel like we have any choice but to believe that life is precious, and it begins at conception, because I don't know where else you could say that life began aside from that one miraculous moment of conception. Everything else after that was what? Just growing. Just growing. So, I go back to the difficult stuff. What does somebody that's has had an abortion do with this? What did I have to figure out to, what to do with for my part in that? We're a people of hope. We're a people of great hope. 1 John says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, as we all do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." We never know what pain people carry, but there is always a hope that we can offer, that there is grace and forgiveness in God, no matter what we've done or haven't done in our lives. There is grace. We can find forgiveness. I'm not sure when it was after I became a Christian, but that came back to my mind, and I had to bring that to God and say, I did that. I was part of that. And I found him to be faithful to forgive me. And he's faithful to forgive no matter what it is, no matter what it is. So we have an answer for the hope that with hope. We can share our beliefs in this with hope. And you know what? For somebody, our hope is that they will enter into that relationship and find the freedom from the burden that can be to carry that. God loves us, even in the midst of our best and worst times. And with hope for, you know what, you never know who you're speaking to. You never know who you're talking to that may be in a situation a month or a year or whatever down the road where they're considering ending their child's life. What if somebody had talked to me? What if you had talked to somebody and had that conversation and planted that seed in their head that, you know what, This could be a child. This is my baby. This I can't do this. That may be a life that you save with that conversation. And we can share with people that find themselves in this, I don't know what to do. I'm where I was. I didn't know what to do, so I guess get an abortion. If I would have known that there was a God I can serve that would tell me I can work out all things to the good of those who love me and are called according to my purposes, just begin to follow and serve and love me, I'll work it out. Trust me. It may have been a whole different thing for me. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. We're just going to close in a song, but I want us to take a moment to be quiet before God and bring, I don't know what God's been dealing with you in your heart. Maybe it's something from your past that you just need to bring and say, God, I've never really talked to you about this, but would you help me with this? Would you forgive me? Would you walk with me as I wrestle with this? Maybe it is on the flip side when you're saying, I've been avoiding this conversation, but it's too important. I have to be prepared to be able to tell somebody if you put them in my path. So just let's take a moment to be quiet. Everybody just bow your heads. I'm not going to say anything. I just want the Holy Spirit and you to take some time And you bring to him what the Lord's been laying on your heart during this message.